turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And we have been going through this book and looking at our brother and his life, the calling of the Lord upon him, seemingly called the same age as the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry. In the prime of his life, he was called to be a witness, a testimony, a prophet unto those captive, and Nebuchadnezzar taking the children of Israel captive. His ministry starts before the very end, if you will, or the end of the kings and the end of the nation being headquartered there in Jerusalem. He's lived at a time where the last few kings have been at hand, and then the appointee of Nebuchadnezzar to be there, that subsequent uprising of even that man, and then Nebuchadnezzar going in to siege the city. And if we understand it correctly, that is in the works or has been done. His attention has been very much, the Lord's attention has been very much on the nation, warning them. As the Lord says, warning them of God. He says to Ezekiel, warn them of me. And we see with the nation of Israel that the Lord loves them and he will bring them. He doesn't give up on them. As sorry and as bad as they have gone against him, they are the Lord's. And as a nation, he will bring them unto himself. We've seen these other nations, though, that the Lord has given Ezekiel prophecy against. There's no hope for them. There's no help for them. Other than that interesting thing that we see the Lord say in Ezekiel and in the book of Isaiah about Egypt. Some interesting things that we saw there. And then we saw here last time about this of Ezekiel being dumb, being to where he couldn't speak. And was this a thing that came on him and would be relieved and would come on him or not? Did he witness to the people in that day by the writing of this book and the writing of the Word of God? And then the Lord speaks here, and we mentioned last time here in the latter part of chapter 33 about what we entitled The Lovely Song and Pleasant Voice of the Watchman. Ezekiel is called to be a watchman, and as the message even this morning was and is the truth of that, as the children of God, we're called to warn sinners. And certainly in his church, we've been given a commission by our Lord. The foremost first part of that is to preach the gospel to every creature. And may we not be like those that are described here by the Lord, that Ezekiel, you'll go and you'll speak to them, you'll preach to them, and oh, and they'll flock. They're talking against you in private, but they'll flock to hear you, and then they'll go away, and they won't do according to my word that I've given you. We have yet this interesting thing about Brother Ezekiel that he's referred to by God Almighty as the Son of Man. And it's, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no other that's referred to this way, Son of Man. And so we're wondering about that. Why is it that the Lord gives our brother this name and refers to him this way in this nearly 50-chapter book, some 90, 80-some or 90-some times? Son of Man, that's the name that he gives to him. We wonder if there's not something that we see in the humility, the suffering, and the lowliness of Brother Ezekiel and what the Lord calls him to do and all this example that's in his life, if there's not something there and the shame that he bore in that. We come to chapter 34, and the word of the Lord comes unto Ezekiel again. And it says here in verse number 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." So now the Lord's attention has come back to Israel. It's been distracted. It's been turned away in some other things that he has done. He's talked about the individual and such as that. But now he's come back to issues regarding Israel. And he's speaking to the shepherds. There are shepherds in Israel. And the thing is, he's not talking about the shepherds of the sheep, of literal sheep. But he's talking about the leadership, the ministers supposed to be of the Lord amongst the nation. He says, "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And so the Lord's word comes here to the shepherds, to the ministers that were there to be, filling that office at the least, were to be a minister unto the Lord's nation and to the Lord's people. Tell you what, as your pastor, and listen to those words, as your pastor, it comes from that of being a shepherd or an under-shepherd that the Lord has called me into, I've had this passage used against me. And that's not a good thing to be accused of this, that the Lord accused the shepherds of Israel about. And, you know, it's not a thing where I am to be offended that I would be accused of that. But you know what? Need to take a sober look as to what I do as a minister of the Lord here amongst you. I want to be a pastor that's pleasing to the Lord for you and for your families. And to do so, I indeed need to be a man that tells you the truth of God's word, what the Lord says, along the line of what Brother Peter says that his ministry was, to be a reminder of the things of the Lord and to the people of God. Now, sometimes when you and I get sideways with the Lord, or we get crossways with the Lord, we don't want to hear the truth. But you know what? That's what we need. We need the truth of God's word. And here the ministers, the shepherds, here they are accused by the Lord, and no doubt it is true. You feed yourself of the flock, but you don't look to take care of the flock. What's he say here? You eat the fat, verse number 3. You take the best. You clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. You don't feed them. You know, if I would ever come to a time that I would feed you with philosophy or my thinking or the things of the world, you need to buck up at that. Because that's not what we need. That's not what Olmsted Baptist Church needs. Olmsted Baptist Church doesn't even really need my opinion. What we need is the good Word of God. We need the good Word of God. We need the full counsel of the Word of God. And the thing is, I've said it before and it's true, our work here that we've been called into is not you joining me in my ministry. This is not, Olmsted Baptist Church is not about Jim Duke. It's about the Lord's church here that he's placed here, all of us fitly joined together for the commission that the Lord's given us, and we all need to be striving for the same thing, towards the same goal, the same commission our Lord has given us for the Lord's sake. This church is his church. It's his church, it's his money, and we are the shepherd of this fold of our Lord. And so, and we are the sheep of this fold, and he is indeed our shepherd. As we refer to it, he is our head, is he not? And we need to be looking to the Lord. And so when I tell you about some issue, or I tell you, bring something before you, and I ask you to pray about it, I really mean that. I'm not just saying those words to say the right thing to fill that place and time. We all need to be praying and seeking the Lord's face about the affairs of the church, that we might know what our Lord would have us to do in every wise and every wit. Always remembering that everything that you and I do, we need to do it to honor and glorify our Lord. Not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify our Lord. Here, the shepherd saw the sheep as those that needed to be shorn. That they were the ones to, it was all about the shepherd. And the Lord says, no, it's about me and my flock. He says, the disease have you not strengthened, verse 4, neither have you healed that which was sick. The labor of love of the shepherd amongst the sheep. The shepherd, you do any studying about the shepherd and what a shepherd endures out there in the field with his sheep, he does so because he loves the sheep. There has to be such a love and a giving for them indeed. You've not healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. You ignored it. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. I tell you, one of the hardest things that I deal with as a pastor is going out to try to encourage to come back those that get out away from the church. You know, if you and I, as members here in the Lord's church, if we don't want to be here, it's hard to convince us to want to be here. And my pastor, he told and he preached, he said, and the thing is, there's a balance in all things, but he said, you know what? Indeed, minister to the ones that want to be ministered to. Indeed, teach and preach the ones that want to be taught and want to learn. Don't forget about them. See, some ministers can be so involved with looking and trying to gather out the sheep that are scattered and willful and going out in a way that they forget about the flock that's yet at hand. And so there's a balance in these things. He says this, but with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. And there is a rule of a pastor. There is a leadership of the pastor. And that is there indeed. But you know what? I don't want us to have a church where what Brother Jim says goes and that's just it. That we just go forward doing what Brother Jim says that we should do and that's just it, period, and amen. No, you know what? We all have a responsibility to find the leadership of the Lord together. I am your pastor, but I am your brother too. And we are all the children of the Lord. Here the Lord says, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Again, it's not my church and you're not my members. You're my brothers and sisters. And this is our church that the Lord's put us in. And they were scattered, verse number 5, because there was no shepherd. The shepherd wasn't doing and fulfilling his calling. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered, falling all away to false doctrine and false ways of the world, being overcome by the way of the world and the way of sin and such as that. You know what? The people of God do need to be fed. Need to be fed the good food and the good word of God. As we mentioned here recently, we are washed by the water of the word. And that's what we all need. Now, if the word bothers you or troubles you or doesn't interest you, then maybe you need to introspect and find out what's going on with you. And I don't ever want my preaching to be boring and dry and humdrum. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to bore you to tears with something that I'm excited about but just doesn't convey something that's good from the Lord. But if it is what God has said, may the Lord help us that we do our part and receive what the Lord has said. May the Lord help me to be a pastor to you that the Lord would be pleased with. My sheep wandered throughout all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. I do need to be one that will engage those that are willful and wayward or going away from the flock. And I do need to tend to those that are at hand. But you know what? Israel had come on to a time that those ministers, at least they filled the position of minister, they wanted it for themselves, what they could gain. It is a labor of love. If there's no love there, the labor won't be filled correctly. It'll be cold. It'll be hard. It'll be orthodox. Or it'll be without any life in it. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And so praise be to God that He is the great shepherd of the sheep, and He does look out for His own. Even in spite of these in this day, even in spite of those in days since that have not undertaken the ministry that they said that they were called to, the Lord is against a man that looks to serve himself. And kind of apropos, being at our 8th anniversary of me coming and moving here and being here on the scene and moving here to the parsonage and that some 8 years ago, you know, this is my calling to you is to be a good pastor, a good under-shepherd unto you and to your families, and to tell you the truth and to feed you here. Now, let us understand this, that this is a failing. The Lord's argument here is that you fed yourself, but you didn't feed the flock. And there is a balance in things. We need to understand that. We don't need to go overboard. Some churches, and maybe you've known of some, have undertaken that I forget even the saying. It's probably not really worth remembering. But the church undertakes to make a man that is called into the ministry to keep him humble by keeping him poor. Now, the thing is if a church is poor, then so that man is going to be poor. It's just that way. The church cannot do what she can't do. But if there is some blessing in the church, indeed, that should be upon the pastor too, if he's a minister that pursues what God has given rightly. But it's not all about the vocation of the man and the ministry of the man. It's about the work of the Lord. And there is a provision. So I want to just remind us of a couple verses here. And this is no quarrel at all with Olmsted Baptist Church. The Lord is blessed. And as the Lord has blessed us as a church, indeed you have blessed me and my family. And I'm thankful for that. I praise the Lord for that. You do above and beyond what really, from the human standpoint, you're able to do. But the Lord is blessed with that. Look here. The Lord takes this and uses this in the Scriptures. In Deuteronomy chapter 25. In Deuteronomy chapter 25. And this is, I think this is part of the humility that the Lord keeps us in. And it's good. We need to be humbled before our Lord. You know, God is supreme, and our Savior is supreme, and we are His children. And we need to always know that relationship and that place. But in regards to ministers, here's what the Lord uses. In Deuteronomy 25, verse number 4, who would have ever thought it? But the Lord says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." And so as the ox would be used at the grind mill, on that pole that's attached to that grindstone to go around and to go around as they would feed that corn, feed that wheat into that grinding mill, some is going to fall out on the ground. And the Lord says, don't muzzle that ox so he can't eat it, because that's just not right. Let the ox that is grinding and preparing that grain for your food, whatever falls out on the ground, let him eat of it too. And so the Jews had that before them in their nation, and where in time past, or they may have seen it with the Egyptians, or may have seen it with others, when they came into the land of Canaan, don't remember, take that muzzle and throw it away. Let that ox eat that grain. Okay? And so then we come to the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul here in Corinth is here for 18 months, and the Lord promises a great harvest of souls here in this place. Our Apostle was able, by the calling of the Lord, to require of those that were saved there to help and support him. But you know what? He chose not to. Dealing with those Gentiles, he thought it well just to let that about the provision of him and his troop lay low. and go ahead and make tents to provide for himself and for his own, that, as he says, the gospel might have free course, that it might be given, that none think that there would be any charge or any necessity of recompense for the gospel, but that it might go out free. And that was the decision that he made there. But as he deals with this church and talks to them about issues that they have, he makes the case here in chapter 9 that Peter and the other apostles and such as that, they were able to have their families and to be provided for. I remember the original apostles were there from that time after the Lord's resurrection, that the church had all things in common out of necessity for that time, so that those Jews that had been saved and totally abandoned by their families of Jews that remained, they would be unto them those that would tell of faith in Christ and following after the Lord and his church would be forgotten by their own. They would be disowned by them. They would be unto them, as we even hear the universalists, they would say, they're dead unto me. And so the Lord provided that they did have all things common, so they might make it through that time until they were able to, the Lord did what he did there in the church. The Lord doesn't promote any kind of communal living at all, but for the necessity in that day, it was so. And so our brother says, my other brethren, they were able to have a family and the needs of a family and such as that. And so he says here in verse 7 of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, who goes to warfare on his own charges, is his own expense? Who planteth a vineyard and doesn't eat of the fruit of it, labor and reward? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Remember, the Lord's argument against those shepherds is that they fed themselves, but they didn't tend to the flock at all. Our brother said, say I these things as a man? Or sayeth not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, if this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the holy things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so, now don't think that all ministers are oxes, okay? You dumb ox. That's what I think. I just think of that. And that's not what the Lord is saying. Ministers can behave like dumb oxes. Okay, they can. But members can too. And so may we not behave that way. And I'm not saying that you do. But it is so that it's that way. And the fault of the shepherds was what? They didn't tend to the sheep. And there needs to be attending to the sheep by the minister. And the minister is a partaker. And so at this point and this principle, this doctrine that's in the scriptures, I commend you and praise the Lord for you for how you do in this. And you pray for me that I might be a good minister to you as the Lord has called us together. Another passage along this line we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It is that way. And that's the design of our Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaking here about widows and a true widow and the care for them and the church's responsibility in that. In verse number 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, the apostle writes to the young preacher and pastor, let the elders, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so, relative to this that we see in Ezekiel, it does carry over to our day. And again, I commend you for the Lord's blessing upon you and us together, and how you provide for me and my family. And you pray that I would be a good minister of the Lord to you and a good witness in this region and community, and not fall under this condemnation that the Lord gave Brother Ezekiel of shepherds that didn't tend the sheep that they were given to tend. I don't want to be found that way. I want to be found pleasing unto the Lord. And may the Lord continue to help us in these things. Back in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 11. Praise be to God, and praise be to His name, that He's not a God that's weak, trying to do something, ever fretting about, and we do please Him and displease Him, but never fretting about what He's going to do because man didn't do this or that. God's never worried about anything, and I'm glad of that. And the Lord goes on and says this, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, what do you think that means? Just what he said. He's gonna search his sheep and he's going to seek them out. And praise be to God for that. What a great consolation we have in our Lord. Our Lord is always at work. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I'll find them. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them up from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. They won't ever be too far that the Lord won't be able to bring them back. They'll never be in a strait where the Lord won't be able to rescue them and bring them in. He will be able to do so, and He knows those that are His. And I will bring them out from the people, verse 14, and I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. You know, this is telling about what the Lord's going to do for His nation and those Jews that He saved and will save. Can you just imagine what it's going to be during the millennial reign when we, having a body like our Lord, we'll be able to do everything that He wants us to do. Can you imagine a time with our Lord that in our relationship with Him and He with us, that there'll never be a reason for any frown? Our relationship and our fellowship with our Lord in that day will always be sweet. We'll be there ruling and reigning with our Lord amongst the heathen, and we'll be doing whatever it is our Lord has us to do, and we'll gladly do it, and we'll ably do it. But you know what? However that is, when we come all the way back over there to talk with the Lord or reckon with the Lord from Kentucky or wherever the Lord puts us in that day, it'll always be sweet to be with our Lord. A wonderful pasture. A blessed shepherd. And we'll be able to look upon him and visit with him and fellowship with him. It'll always be good. And that's what the Lord's done for us. That's what we have to look forward to. We have a touch and a blessing of that now. Don't we? We do. All because He's the great shepherd. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. doesn't the Scripture tell us in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus himself, that he says that he will, as he did with the apostles there, and he washed their feet, that in that day there'll be a time that the Lord will come and gird himself and serve us? I didn't make it up. He said it. That our Savior, Lord, our elder brother, would do that for us, but that's his love for us. That's his care for us. Cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. His attention has come back to those that are not the Lord's, and those ministers that have not done well. Those shepherds that have got in there and they've taken from the flock what they wanted to get to self-serve, and then they've just left the residue for the flock. The Lord hates that. He is against those that do so. He will judge amongst those that are his and those that are not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, verse 20, unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. He's even speaking to those that are wayward as their being amongst the flock or amongst the herd. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. Remember, we read that this morning in Matthew. Lord will divide the sheep from the goats. He knows. He knows. He knows every way, every motive, every soul, and every heart. Therefore will I save my flock, verse 22, and they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will set up one shepherd over them. Listen. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Amen. Certainly the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. And certainly the work of the Lord will be there. There are some that believe and take this verse to say that even David is ordained by the Lord to be an overseer of those there. And certainly the Lord qualifies being a descendant of Brother David. The bottom line is the Lord is good to his. And you know what? He just keeps on being good to his. As it says there in that passage, in verse number or chapter 25 of Matthew, and those talents that are given out to those men, and that one that took his one talent of his life and trusted the earth and the world and the way of man, rather than obeying what the master had told him to do, he says, take it away from him and give it to the one that's got 10. Because everybody that has will just keep on getting more. But those that have not even that which they seem to have, even their life will be taken away. Reference the message this morning in hell of the lake of fire. And I will make them a covenant, verse 25, of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. Zion. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. We've got a song that we sing, right? There shall be showers of blessing. And it comes from that verse. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, because they had no protector. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. You know, that's one thing that the pastor is to be on the lookout is for wolves. The pastor is to be on the lookout for wolves. And you pray for me that I'll do so. See, they had no protector. And the Lord said, that'll be the end of that. And I will raise up for them a plan of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. They're trampling. The ministers, the shepherds that would not fill their office because they were not convicted of such, they just served themselves. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. Verse 31, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. And praise be to God for that. Amen. Praise be to God. It reminds me of this that we've read recently. And I wonder if Brother Peter hadn't been reading out of this when he wrote. And of course, the Lord gave it to him to write. But we know that our brethren were looking to be filled with the Old Testament scriptures as they ministered and filled their calling. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the brother closes out this chapter telling about Christ and what he did for us, how he suffered and didn't fight against those things that he was called to do. And he says in verse 25, for ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned into the shepherd and bishop of your souls. he's more than just a shepherd in the physical things of life. And he is that. But he's our great shepherd in all things spiritual too, isn't he? And salvation of the soul and the rescuing. We sing those songs that tell about a shepherd going out to find his sheep. And that one that we sing about how he was so torn and so stood the abuse of the cold and the thorns and everything that cut up his flesh and his arms. And asking about the scars that he had, the wounds that he had and all that. And he said, I went to find my sheep. I went to rescue my sheep. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Lord. What a shepherd we have. Some would not like, there are those that have and would not like to be called and referenced to as a sheep. But I'm glad to be a sheep of the Lord. Because that's a very true description of what I am. I'm a sheep. And praise be to God, He's the shepherd. Maybe pray one for another and pray for our church. Pray one for another and pray for our church. Pray for me as your pastor. And may we fill that which the Lord has called us to do. And may we not take the little things of life that would distract us from that and get carried off on a tangent and all that. But may we focus upon what the Lord's given us to pursue right here. To be a witness of Christ, to be salt and light, and to be like Him, and to be conformed to Him in His image and His way. And to do what the Lord would do, and to look to Him, and understand our place right before the Lord, and honor and glorify Him in everything. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you won't go anywhere good eternally without Him.